Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show. Victoria Hawkins is my guest again today, and it has been a long time since we were able to do a show together, and yes. We were trying to figure it out, and we think maybe early November, mm-hmm. something like that. But she is an artist. I've seen her work. She's an author. She's a psychotherapist. She's a yoga and dance instructor and a mom, and probably the mom is the most important job.
Most of
the time. So she's a really busy person, but she is now the new owner of Hypnique Studio in Tarpon Springs. And so before I have her share her business endeavor, her new one, and talk about our topic today, which is going to be shamanic rituals for life changes, I want to remind everybody about getting healthy in 2020. Boomers is a company in St. Petersburg, Florida, that has a unique, one-of-a-kind type products that can assist you with living your best life, which is what the tagline of my show is, you know, to go out there and live your best life. And so since this is a brand new decade that we're embarking on, there couldn't be a better time for you to do a physical assessment of where you are in your life. You might want to stand in front of the mirror and kind of be honest with yourself and say, do I need to lose weight? Do I need to maybe build some muscle? Have I been diagnosed as being pre-diabetic? Do I have some issues with high blood pressure? And some of you may be fighting some serious illnesses, cardiovascular disease of sorts, or even cancer. So whatever the reason might be, please go to my website, synergyconnectionradio.com, and there are links there that can take you into the Boomer website, and they have some wonderful videos, they have some amazing blogs that would explain what these products can do for you. And if you do decide that you want to try something, then in the promo code, use my name, L-U-C-Y, Lucy, and you'll get $5 off of your order. I don't think you're going to be sorry if you're really and truly serious about wanting to make improvements emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually, beginning with this new decade in 2020. So check it out and see what you think. And Victoria, our topic today is shamanic rituals for life changes. And you've had some big life changes recently.
Yes.
And so why don't you share how this purchase came about, this new endeavor, and what you're going to do with it?
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, the purchase of the studio, I think the first thing I want to say is it was not something that was even on my radar. I was moving through life. Interestingly, on one of our past shows, we talked about how my birthday is a big deal for me, and I set intention beforehand, and I look at my birth year and all of those kind of things to see what's going to happen for that year. I set intention for the year. So this year was 45, or is 45. I'm in that 45th year, which is a 9 in numerology. Mm-hmm. Nines have a lot to do with completing things.
Completing things.
Yes. Right. And I felt like that was a big theme for this 45th year for me. And I looked at it as, you know, I think that there's some things I might need to wrap up or tie loose ends or maybe let go of things that are not serving me anymore. But I really didn't know how that was going to look in a big picture way. I was looking at that as things like making sure that I don't let my closet get out of control, you know, like cleaning things out.
Organizing,
yeah. Working on some art projects that were open-ended. So those were some of the things that I just started doing, which that was back in September, was the birthday time. So roll around, we come into late October, early November, somewhere in that range, all of a sudden, out of the blue, the previous owner and creator of Hypnique Studio, who is one of my instructors, continues to be. Her name is Talia, and she came to me and said that she was interested in pursuing her professional dance career even more. And would I be interested in purchasing the assets of the business? And I was completely blown away. I normally can say words pretty easily. This was one of those moments that I just really sat there, because as she showed me and, you know, made an offer to me and then told me the ways that she was willing to support me, all I could really think was, this is a gift. Mm-hmm. And in so many ways, it really was a gift. She was offering a gift of something that she has created and worked at for a number of years.
Well, I think one of the special mm-hmm. gifts here is, and the way I'm looking at it too, is she trusted you enough yes. to give it to you, because yes. somebody else might have, you know, taken it and just thrown it away, or they
absolutely
might, yeah. so
yeah. Yeah. And she and I even talked about that at one point when we were sharing with some of our students who have been students of hers for many years. We wanted mm-hmm. to make sure that we were really letting them know, hey, this is we are here for you.
And right, and not abandoning
no,
them.
No, like right. she is involved in a smaller capacity. I'm there and offering what they were used to plus more. Mm-hmm. And we were sharing that, and that was actually one of the things that she had mentioned too, was, you know, some people might have just said, I'm going to close the doors on this because it's my baby and no one else is going to be able to do it.
Exactly.
But instead she did. She trusted me enough to give me an opportunity mm-hmm. to
I think she might have thought you have a similar vision, you know,
we
because
do.
You had worked together enough, and so
yes.
she knew you.
And one of the biggest things that I respected about the way she ran the studio, and that is very powerful to me, is, and I think that this is a big part of living close to the earth, is having respect and harmony with each other as individuals. Mm-hmm. And in its creation, Hypnique is a studio devoted to Middle Eastern dance, to belly dance. You don't always find the level of respect and harmony. Sometimes there's a real competitive nature to any sport, and mm-hmm. dance can be that sport, right? Mm-hmm. But that was never the case, and it's why I stayed there, mm-hmm. because I felt that harmony and that true empowerment, like shining the light on each other's power,
right, right.
And helping us see that in each other. Mm-hmm. So I respected that about the place. She knows that I hold that vision dearly, and now we are still creating together in a lot of ways. I'm just running the ship. And she's, what's been really neat to watch is, as she intended to be more involved in her being able to say yes to more professional gigs and things like that, what's so neat is it's already started happening
for her.
Oh, okay. And she's been able to say yes to things that she might have had to say no because she was teaching or mm-hmm. it was just too much on her plate. And then I've been able to be the person that's teaching, and the other reason why I felt like it was such a huge gift from the universe is I have been going a variety of different actual locations
to teach
mm-hmm. and to offer the different things that I offer. So I'm a yoga instructor. I mean, you hear the spiel, right? I do all these different things, and I have never been in one place where I've been offering all these things. Now, I have worked as a 9-to-5 full-time worker a few times in my life. However, for the last like 11 years, I have not done that. So I've been owning my own business.
You know, what's funny is a little bit ago, you said something about you thought that the gift, I guess, that you were
yeah.
thinking about getting, that it was like tying up loose ends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what this did, is
yes.
it allowed you to come in to focus in one place.
Yes.
So you can take all of your gifts and put them right there.
I can put all my gifts together.
Yes.
And I've seen a beautiful response because, again, you don't really know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring in shamanic yoga, which we actually had last Friday night as one of our first new and different workshops. And we had quite a few attendees, people that had never even tried yoga before. The response was great.
So how does shamanic yoga differ than regular yoga
sure.
classes?
Well, I'm Hatha yoga trained, mm-hmm. which I believe to me, I've seen the connection between Hatha yoga and our Native American indigenous cultures as far as how they connect a lot with the earth.
Mm-hmm. And breathing.
And the breathing, right? Breath work is very, very important with yoga. And it's interesting because, of course, the names of the poses that you might do are in Sanskrit, but a lot of them translate to animals or earth.
Down dog.
Yeah, down dog. Sphinx is one, which is, I guess, a pyramid. But there's also tree. There's stork. What is the... Oh, mountain. Mountain pose. So it's very interesting to me. I've seen this. It is a connection to earth as well. And,
so do you maybe mm-hmm. talk to them a little bit during something like shamanic yoga about chakras and
yes.
connecting deep into themselves and then up into spirit?
And this was what was neat the other night. I felt like this was actually the first time where I did it as a workshop and invited a group. Mm-hmm. I've taught people about it. I've worked with people individually mm-hmm. about it. But it also felt like the first time that I felt very comfortable just to be authentically me, which is a lot of what this title I kind of gave myself of being a shaman in suburbia, mm-hmm. is how do you balance that? You know, how do you truly be in the world and relevant, but also hold sacred these beliefs and rituals and connection mm-hmm. to the earth? Mm-hmm. So I felt like I had one of those moments where it just all came together right as I was leading. And this will lead me to talking about allowing, which is what you and I were talking about before uh-huh. we started the recording. I was standing there and I knew coming in that I was going to have us salute the four directions, which, you know, in case that's unfamiliar, typically with Native American cultures, you would start in the east because that's like the sun rising in the east. Uh-huh. Then you would turn to the south, to the west, to the north, and you just kind of say a bit of a blessing or prayer, and then you're going to salute the sky and the earth, and that can be earth and then sky, but either way. And then the center is typically self. Mm-hmm. So I just had this moment where we're standing and I saw it as a sphere, because mm-hmm. you're making the sphere as you go around the four directions. Then the chakras go through our center,
yes, they
connect us to the earth and connect us to divinity,
right?
Our crown chakra, the sky,
right?
Which is how Native American cultures have seen that, you know, Father Sky and Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. And bringing you full circle back to Hatha yoga, Hatha in Sanskrit is the combination of solar and lunar energy. So Ha is sun and Tha is moon. So the practice of Hatha yoga is balanced mm-hmm. between your masculine and your feminine energy. So it all just weaves right in together.
It does.
And then you see yourself as that channel, if mm-hmm. you so choose, mm-hmm. during that little opening that we did, of you are then in the center mm-hmm. of this cord that's connecting you to your divine wisdom, connecting you to the nurturing of Mother Earth.
Very, very interesting how that
so
works.
So it was a beautiful practice that we were able to do. And I really do believe that the setting of intention and then stepping back and watching it unfold, mm-hmm. it's been a learning process for me. I call it surrendering sometimes, mm-hmm. that I intentionally started about 4 years ago. And in that time, a lot of things have shifted.
Well, some of the things that I've talked about in the past too fit with this, that inner balance device
yes.
that HeartMath Institute
yes.
you know, came up with, because they worked on that for, I think, 30 or 40 years, and it used to cost $1,000,
wow.
and it was the size of a suitcase in order to make it work. Now it clips on your ear and on your clothing, and it still, you know, goes in and tracks your heart rhythm
yes.
and tells you whether you're in heart, you know, coherence. So you know, that's what that is in a way, is we have to get out of our heads where we're always planning and thinking,
right,
and into our heart. And when we can be there, then we are probably in coherence with the earth, with,
yes,
Mother, Son, you know, Father,
yeah,
Earth, whatever, you know, combinations we want to call it.
Right. And the coherence is a big theme for me in the last few months, mm-hmm, because one of the things, as I decided, to be honest, when I first heard, I felt a little bit scared of this.
Taking over the responsibility?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there must have been a thought inside of you that went, what if it doesn't work? What,
yes,
if I fail at this and,
yep,
it does close and she gave it to me and it's her baby?
Oh, yeah. There was definitely that moment more than once. Mm-hmm. And even after I decided to say yes and things are rolling along well, you know, that came up again, mm-hmm, at one point. And I had a bit of a meltdown that day, you know, a little crying meltdown, which I think I needed to have, because what that shows me is those are the times that we all get into.
Mm-hmm.
So no judgment on myself on this, but just kind of an observation. Those are the times that I'm not in coherence with my,
right,
heart.
Your fear got the best
my
of you.
My fear, which to me is what we're, you know, we are trained in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And one of
be
the...
Be careful, don't do this,
yeah,
don't do that, you'll get hurt.
What if it doesn't work, you know? Because
right,
those are, I don't have the answer to that. Even
right
now, I don't have the answer to that.
Right.
I took a, what do you call it? A
leap of faith.
A big leap of faith. That's what it's called. A leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the things that's helped me feel more comfortable with that is another thing that you and I have talked about is my connection to the signs,
mm-hmm,
that I've been cultivating. So the more we listen and see, and interpret those signs that we're given, the more we get the direction and the guidance.
Think, yeah.
And it can go both ways. So I just kept listening during that first process and asking to please show me.
Give me a sign.
Yeah, please show me if this is correct.
Right.
Because if it's not, then I will say thank you, mm-hmm, but it's not for me right now. If it is, then I want to go forward feeling supported.
And that truly is a difficult distinction, I think, for the majority of people,
yes,
to make, unless you are a yoga, you know, where you can just literally step inside, you,
yeah,
know, and feel that direction very strongly. But I would guess most people, whether it's moving, buying a car, any big investment that we're making, and it doesn't have to be financial, it,
mm-hmm,
can be an emotional investment, but anytime you do something like that, you argue with that little inner voice that,
yes,
says, no, you're not ready, or, you know, no, this is not the right time, or you need to go in a different direction. And so ascertaining whether it's the correct voice to listen to, that's got to be really,
I think it's very tricky. And I guess that was part of how I selected what we might talk about some today,
mm-hmm,
too, is to hopefully share some of the practical things that I do.
Mm-hmm. And you brought some things
I did.
With you too.
And I know those of you that are listening, you can't see them, but I'll describe them to you. And I brought some of my tools that I use pretty much daily at this point. And I have many others. I couldn't bring them all into Lucy's space, but... But I do...
That truck you were going to
I know.
Did,
I'm coming in. I do use tools that come out of those indigenous cultures. And then I also, mm-hmm, use some tools that come out of my yogic background, which is also, again, the indigenous culture of India is, you know... I mean, yoga is a huge piece.
Mm-hmm.
We know yoga comes from India. That is a lot of their... Their shamanism is the way I look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Plus you have Native American,
correct?
As well, so
which all of this, and I just keep diving more and more and more into that too,
mm-hmm,
because I think when you start to use some of the methods, let's call them, or,
mm-hmm,
tools, and you see that they help,
mm-hmm,
and you start to get that guidance, you want to do it more,
right?
And I also start to...
And you do Reiki, so you
I
bring
do.
That in.
I bring the Reiki
Eastern.
Energy in. Yes, that's another tradition, really,
mm-hmm,
that's
it
been
is.
Passed down
right.
as well.
Right, so shamans,
mm-hmm,
use energy. Reiki is energy. Native Americans use energy.
And seeing the seeing the spirit, divine, however you want to call it, in everything.
I'm going to share something here that I don't know whether you ever have seen this movie, but it's called Rabbit Proof Fence.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
It's about the Aboriginals, and this is a true story of sisters back in the 1930s.
Okay.
And they used to remove them from their families and take them to Christian orphanages, basically.
Okay.
And they would educate them until they were 16, when they would go in and being servants in homes, or, you know, somebody trained to help somebody else. But they wanted to educate the Aboriginal belief system and training out of them. So these three girls are taken 1,200 miles from their families.
Wow.
And it's how they walk back.
Oh my goodness. Amazing.
And they follow the rabbit proof fence, because right before they were removed, they were putting this fence in. So she knew that it would take her back home.
Wow.
And she had to cross a desert with her little sister. It's an amazing film.
Wow.
And teaching. We did the same things to Native Americans, you know, removed a lot of their culture from them. And they've, you know, brought it back, fortunately. But I think, you know, understanding that we have this innate ability that's inside of us, and we can go in there and get it. And this little girl did. She was only 14. And I think her one sister was 10, and then the little one that she carried was about 6.
Wow. And, you know, that's powerful, because I think as adults, sometimes we do forget that we had this connection when we were young. It's still there. I always describe it to some of my students and people I work with that it's like you've been putting on costumes your whole life, but you forgot to take them off, you know?
Right, right.
And so you have this layer.
Right,
you have these layers between the connection and who you think you are. But as you peel away the layers of who you think you are, you realize the connection's always been there.
Right.
Sometimes in those more dire moments, it comes through strongly, because you really can't, you don't have any other, it feels like you have no other choice, right? So I think when you see those moments with people, and I've had some of those moments in my life where, you know, it definitely hasn't been rainbows and butterflies all the time.
Right.
And I had some pretty, pretty strong times where it felt like I needed to make a decision to shift my life entirely. And in those times, I clearly, clearly heard my guidance. And then I pulled in around that and just began saying kind of thanks but no thanks to other people's advice. So sometimes I really do feel, and during the process of making this decision, I actually did that again, because I thought, okay, this is a positive opportunity. It wasn't like me leaving a negative situation or something like that. You know, I have a great life. This is a positive opportunity that someone's offering me. But if I have too many voices, I don't know which one is my kind of human ego training side and which one is me hearing
from your heart.
From my heart.
Right.
And what is for this time? Because I've been kind of a free bird for 11 years in that sense.
Right.
I haven't been,
right.
You know, I haven't been responsible for one location. I take care of other people's when I'm working there, but it's different.
Right. And now it's yours.
And now it's mine.
Right. And it's kind of like, I say grandchildren, because when you have a grandchild, you can play with them, teach them, but you turn them back over normally to their parent. And this time, there isn't any parent to turn it back over to.
I am now the mom.
You're the mom.
I'm the mom of a business.
Of a business, right.
Yes.
So what you help, I guess, create is going to be very interesting as time goes by.
It is. And it's been fun already to put in some of those things, you know, putting my flavor into the place that already existed, and also seeing the excitement about new ideas. And
oh, sure.
sure. new things to open up to. And
well, you remember when you were in college and you started getting a chance to get electives.
Yes.
You know, and not just, you know, the required courses. And it was so much fun to say, yes. oh, I'd like to take this, but this one even sounds better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what you're doing, as you're saying, you know, or a menu. You know, if,
yeah.
you, if you go to a restaurant that you've never been to before, what do you want to try this time?
Right.
And, you know, the sky's the limit for you. You can have all kinds of opportunities to try them on. And if it doesn't work, you can say, okay, well, that was interesting.
Yes.
Now I'm going to try this. And you'll find the right ones that kind of fit.
And I've also seen that, again, it's just, we've actually just been launched as this, you know, same location with new offerings since January 2nd. So it's not been long at
all. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yes.
Actually, today is 2 weeks. And already what I've seen is the connection that's happening for being able to invite other people into the space too.
Uh-huh.
Who do things that I don't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you and I talked about maybe bringing one of my guests
there. I know.
So
I'm excited.
I think it's a terrific fit if it works out. So.
I know. Yeah, I really am. I love the idea of also having a space that's mm-hmm. a beautiful, peaceful space that others can share what they have to offer too.
Mm-hmm.
And that really speaks to my heart because I do love to connect people.
Well, we are a community at this point of whether we want to, you know, some people will say, oh, you're light workers or you're this or you're
mm-hmm.
that. But whatever we are, I think it's the fact that we're trying to share how to get healthy on so many different levels. And it's never just one, you know, it's multiple levels. But yeah, I mean, if we can connect enough people that are teaching what they know best.
Yes.
Then everybody benefits.
Absolutely. And different people have their ways in. Like, mm-hmm. I always see people as this combination of the parts of them. You
mm-hmm.
know, I see them as their energy self. I see them as their physical body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my whole life I've done dance and fitness and then yoga. And so I know the body pretty well.
I would imagine
know?
Sometimes when you're at, like, Publix
mm-hmm.
and you're watching somebody walk, you're going... Oh my goodness, they would benefit from stretching or from this or from this.
Yeah.
Yes. Because it would be hard, like a doctor, you know, looks at the skeletal body. You look at the muscle structure, I'm sure.
I do. And it is interesting because I do come from this varied background. I have the physical aspect with being from 5 years old on,
mm-hmm.
I've been dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Then yoga came in my early 20s. Now, as you all know, I'm 45, so that's been a while because I share my age all the time. But then my clinical training is,
mm-hmm.
you know, in counseling, mental health, and all psychology. And so then I have this analytical look at mind and behavior.
Right,
and
right.
So it's a really interesting thing.
And people that are emotionally depressed walk a certain way.
Oh, for
people
sure.
People that are anxious walk a certain way.
Yes.
And so you're seeing it from that combination.
All
you can probably look at them and go, I can pretty much tell you what's going on.
And like one thing I noticed with people is shoulders.
Yep.
And especially in dancing, because if you've not seen someone do belly dancing, part of it uses your belly, but a lot of it uses the other parts of your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have some very beautiful arm movements.
Mm.
It's challenging to make those arm movements, like a snake arm, if your shoulders are very tight.
Right.
So it is an interesting thing. What sometimes I think draws people is there's stuff going on with their physical body. And I believe you get called to things. You know,
mm-hmm.
we've talked about the people who are ready to hear this today will be hearing this.
Right.
And it's the same way with someone who shows up in a yoga class or someone who shows up in a dance class.
Mm-hmm.
These are all just different avenues into our, back to our heart.
Right.
But there's so many different ways that people can come back. And I also think that some people resonate with, you know, I've seen a huge shift in people resonating with some of those indigenous rituals.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk a lot about the fact that everybody's got Indigenous something because we all came from tribal community.
Yes,
it's just a matter of where your heritage is from.
How many generations ago?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I connect a lot with my Creek heritage from my family. But a part I've not even really explored a whole lot is one whole half of my mom's family is from Holland. So they've got, you know, there's something there too, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But
probably
I
not
tend
belly
to,
dancing. But.
Probably not belly dancing. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to attribute that stuff to past lives. I don't know. Because I don't know where I got my connection to all of that. But I do think a lot of the beauty of the dance was something that kind of drew me back in. And interestingly, for women too, and coming back to the chakras, you use your solar plexus, which is at the belly button area, your sacral chakra, which is below that, your root or base chakra. You use those areas a lot.
And I would think, I mean, I don't know. I mean, even the throat chakra is at the shoulder level.
It is.
So if you're moving your shoulders, that part of your body, your heart,
you're
your
opening
head,
your heart,
yeah.
You're expressing, which is right. Your throat chakra, no matter what.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would even think the third eye.
Sure.
In a way, because of the way you move your head, your head doesn't stay perfectly still.
Not at
belly
all.
Belly dancing. So.
No.
So, yeah.
So there's so many ways into the same thing because we're all coming back to ourselves in some way. We're coming back to that wisdom inside.
Did you ever learn to do any of the Native American dances that you see?
You know, I have not. It's something I'm hopeful this year. One of my explorations, especially last calendar year, was starting to see how I could get more connected with the tribe that I come from or something in the area. Which led me, I might have mentioned this on the other show, it led me to explore what was available in our area. One of the things I found, I grew up in Brooksville, which is a small town in Central Florida. And I grew up on 20 acres of land. You've heard me talk about that before. What I found out more recently, maybe even since the last time we've talked, is that where I was raised, my home, is just a few miles from where the Creeks move to, which is my native tribe.
Did your dad know that?
No.
No kidding.
No.
Wow.
So our native tribe ancestors, they moved just a few miles. I mean, obviously, we didn't live there yet. But their location of their tribal community, which was their government center, was just a few miles from my house growing up.
So technically, the energy that they had is in that land.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it made me remember things. You know, when you find something like that, it sparks. And kind of like I was saying, that we know when we're kids, like we're closer to this wisdom because we haven't taken on as much of the, I call it world training.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been as concerned about what people think about us. Mm-hmm. You know, we wear capes and I made Wonder Woman costumes out of a Wonder Woman bathing suit and afghans. You know, I didn't care what anybody thought.
How fun.
But it reminded me of my brother John and I, and there's five of us, but we're the closest in age. We would play in the woods all the time. We had a creek behind our house. Mm-hmm. And we would find things that we called arrowheads. Now, who knows, because I don't have them anymore, but they probably were.
Or at least shards of
pottery. Or at least shards of pottery, yes.
Right.
No telling what we were finding, because I didn't understand the dynamics back then that we were, you know, I didn't even really understand until more recently how close we were to some of these places.
Right.
So, and another interesting, it's just kind of funny things that you start to go, well, that's an interesting synchronicity.
Mm-hmm.
The Creeks had this tribe that was there, that was their government center, okay? And the Creeks at this point also had lots of other people with them. Some enslaved people who had escaped kind of joined in with their tribe, as well as other tribes that were being moved out as well. So it was a little bit of a conglomeration. So where they were at that location near my growing up home was where they decided to create the Seminole tribe.
Oh, wow.
And then this is kind of funny.
It was an assimilation to become.
It was an assimilation. So the Seminoles are not a native tribe in the sense that they aren't one grouping.
That's fascinating because I think most Floridians think Seminoles.
Right.
You know, without thinking that it was an assimilated tribe.
Right. It was actually an assimilated tribe.
Wow. How interesting.
And
is
the
that?
Creeks were the founders of it, even though the Creeks at that point had lots of people with them.
Mm-hmm.
And because I don't know the entire history of it beyond that, my guessing is that because they were no longer just one nation, let's call it, they created something new. Which is actually really, really neat when you think about it.
It is, absolutely. Before the show started, I had shared with you that the home that I had in Green Bay, Wisconsin, was actually on property that was Winnebago property. And so there was a falls there called Weequahic Falls, and that came down and formed a creek along one whole side of the property. But what I didn't tell you, and I just now was thinking about it as you were talking about your childhood, is when my grandson was about 3 years old, he would come to visit with his mom and dad. And we had a large piece of property. It was over 5 acres. Mm-hmm. And we didn't cut all 5 acres. So there was about three that was wild. And it was back behind us. But I would ask the guys who cut the grass to take their brush hog and make a little trail into the wilderness,
right.
is what I would call it. So that when Cody came, I would take him by the hand, and I just realized that this is something that I did with him as you were talking, because I didn't think about it being Winnebago land. I just thought about it as, you know, this kind of area that was, once you started walking down the path,
right.
you couldn't see the house anymore.
Yes.
And so I would say to him, "Are you listening?" And he'd go, "What?" And I'd say, "I hear the tom-toms." And he would go, "I don't hear them, Grandma." And I would go, "Listen carefully. Hear the deer, they're talking to each other." So I would talk like, you know, almost like a Native American might, and didn't even realize I was doing it.
I love that. And I think that there sometimes is that connection when we're with kids in those, especially in those natural environments.
Right.
You've probably seen this or heard this with clients too. When I have worked with people in mental health, sometimes they really do understand, even if they haven't learned to put themselves there yet. Mm-hmm. Very often, they feel a difference when they're in nature.
Yes, they do.
And I think we find that if we can put ourselves in nature, which is part of how, I mean, I guess when, you know, in talking about different rituals that I use, one of them is to daily be in nature.
Well, Sun Bear is somebody that I actually took a class from, and I think we talked about that. But one of Sun Bear's trainings that I went to was you had to sit on the ground, and it was in the fall, and put leaves on top of you, and communicate with the earth and the trees that way. You had to hug a tree.
Mm-hmm.
But he taught a lot of psychiatrists this technique because they were in buildings, you know, where they couldn't get out into nature. But he would have them get a big kitty, like a kitty litter box, and put soil in the kitty litter
box. Yes.
And so he would have them speak into, they'd dig a hole just like we did, but this would be in an office, and they would dig a hole and then speak into that hole something that they needed to release. And then he would hand them, you know, like a piece of corn or something along those lines, where you would plant a positive inside of something that was initially a negative.
I love
and
that.
And so we can all learn from negative situations. It doesn't have to be the end of the world. It's just, what's the lesson? What's the gift, you know, behind it? So many people that have had near-death experiences talk about the gift. They've had severe illnesses. They've talked about the gift. They wouldn't be the person that they are had they not gone through that. And nobody wants to volunteer for anything negative.
No.
But when we do have it, then what's the gift? You know, what are we really learning maybe from that situation? And I think Native Americans knew that. I think they just inherently knew that there were always going to be difficulties, but what will you do with it?
And I think and I think that a lot of, you know, if we think about like a tribe of Native Americans that were cohabitating together and all of that, I think that the role of the shaman, from my understanding, was to remind people of that too, you know, So I see that as my role a lot of times. Mm-hmm. The more that I have learned to, stay connected.
Right. Yeah. As a Native American, though, you probably were a medicine woman. And
yeah.
So the shaman may have come from over here, but the medicine woman was right there beside her.
Yes. So. I know. I love the medicine woman. I know that we might have talked about this before too. I know we have. I'm not sure if I mentioned it on air, but I have not completely discovered this yet, but I do feel that that medicine woman is part of my actual ancestry and with me through all of this.
Right.
And, oh my goodness, I have the most fun thing that happened that shows you kind of signs too. So this happened since the last time we saw each other. I plant a little garden that we're actually transforming our small backyard into a garden completely at some point, but we do it little bits at a time. We made a path a year or so ago with stones, and I last year had put in a 4x4 garden.
Okay.
Also have some other things in pots and whatever, but I made the 4x4 garden. So last year I had cilantro, dill, green onions, broccoli, and kale in this 4x4. So a little bit of everything, right? Mm-hmm.
A salad.
Yeah, a salad, which we eat a lot of. So, you know, we were eating out of it daily. It grew really well. And I knew that cilantro turns to, when it goes to seed, as they call it, it turns into coriander. The seeds are actually what the coriander spice is.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm just going to let it go to seed when it all, you know, kind of started getting too hot. And I was just going to let the garden rest and see, you know, plant when it came time this year. Well, we hadn't got very much cold for a while, and I needed to wait till the heat was at its peak to plant. So I kept waiting, and then all this stuff started happening, right? And so I was like, oh my goodness, I haven't planted my garden. Meanwhile, I had sent my son out to weed it a couple of times because I was getting ready to plant. I kept getting ready to plant.
He probably was like, Mom.
I know. So I remember sending him out, and he had just weeded just a few days before. And I look out my window and I thought, wow, Cole did not weed very well. And I walk out there to go pull the weeds. It was cilantro.
Oh.
And not just a little bit anymore. This entire 4x4 garden is now cilantro.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So I started laughing and I thought, well, I guess the universe, you know, decided I want some cilantro. It's a good thing I like cilantro. I joked about it a little bit, all this kind of stuff. Well, then about a month or so later, which just in the midst of me taking on this new changes and just trying to care for myself, I decided to do a session with one of my mentors, which you've heard about, Mary, up in Cleveland. So I'm on the phone with her and we do our phone, obviously phone sessions. I'm in Florida. She's in Cleveland, Ohio. So she says to me, you might want to just consider eating some foods for heavy metal detox. It's a good time for you just to kind of clear your system and all of this. So I said, okay. I get off the session. I look up
cilantro.
And I just started laughing. I thought, okay, this is a perfect example of I was provided exactly what I needed before I even knew what I needed.
Right.
I didn't do anything. I actually didn't even do what I planned to do, which was plant my garden again with the stuff I planted last year. And in my delay, let's call it, with in air quotes, I got what I needed.
Exactly. And I think when we are open,
yes,
and you were open at that time,
yes,
then, you know, magic can happen.
Magic can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of the way it works.
And some of the things that I brought today too were about that, because again, like I said, I've been trying to keep myself centered in guidance.
Okay. So we have what? Black tourmaline?
This is actually a lava rock.
Oh, okay.
Feel it. It's light.
Oh,
isn't that neat?
Very lightweight.
So it's a very large rock, but it's very lightweight. These are my sacred stones.
Okay.
So I was guided a while back to just choose stones. Some are purchased, some are not.
Mm-hmm.
Some I've found in nature. And there's seven to go with the chakras. I think I have 7 here today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Actually, I have 8. So I have an extra one today. Usually these two live together. I have a shell that is from one of the beaches in Destin area. And then I have this potato rock that's my favorite from...
It looks absolutely like a little
red potato. Doesn't it? It looks like a little potato. Oh. It has so much good energy in it. It's from a river in Georgia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
From a hike. And then I have a what's more than likely a quartz from the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, okay.
This is a heart from the Appalachian Trail.
Yes,
it that is. I found this summer. And then... And the lava stone was a gift from another shaman, so really special. Then I have a blue jade, which is a purchased stone, but it really spoke to me. I have a citrine and smoky quartz combination, which helps to clear energy.
It almost looks like a tourmaline from
it
here.
It does, yeah. I know. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminds me of a Jolly Rancher. Remember those candies?
It does, yes, yes.
And the last one I picked up too at Serenity Now, actually you and I both know that store well, is a peach agate, which has really mothering, nurturing
energy.
And
it's a heart shape too.
And it's a heart shape too.
Yes, absolutely.
So the universe communicates to me in hearts, I have found, especially over the last few years. And I also brought a medicine wheel that I made, I painted. And this is one of the things that I've been doing as a daily ritual, not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And when I came in, I just did it here. Mm-hmm. Not thinking about it, but just placing the stones on the medicine wheel in some kind of formation.
So does that give you a message? Or is it just a random...
It's usually random for me.
Okay.
And I feel like it's more of a centering technique that I've been using, just to remind me to just allow myself to go with the gut, you know, that I don't have to plan things. Mm-hmm. I am a planner as much as I don't seem to be sometimes probably to people, but I like to plan. I felt comfortable with planning most of my life.
You wouldn't be able to do your business if you weren't somewhat of a planner.
Because... And there is positive to that, right?
Yes,
I mean,
right.
There is. It is a good quality. I enjoy that aspect of my life. It allows me to stay focused.
Right.
However, if I feel like I'm trying to figure it out, that's a statement that I notice for myself. Mm-hmm. If I'm trying to figure it out, then I want to come back to this.
To that.
And this is one of the things that helps me do that. Just sit for a moment and just let yourself be guided as to where to place these stones. Mm-hmm. And maybe I want to hold one and put it, you know, to my heart or, you know, like the quartz to me at the mind's eye, just kind of like connecting with the crown chakra.
Right. Well, quartz carries tremendous energy.
Yes. So. Yes. And I mean, it also connects me back to those amazing times that I have when I go hiking where I feel like we're just being, we have a plan generally of where we're going to get in, get on and get off.
But right.
We're being guided.
Right. Yeah. And if you think about it, I mean, the Appalachian Trail was when the earth shifted. You know, it made.
Oh, wow. You're
and
right.
And so it pushed that up.
Yes.
And it came because there was tremendous pressure on it. And then it became a gift of quartz.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's another symbolic piece as to what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Is that sometimes, well, almost always our changes come with some kind of pressure. Mm-hmm. And that can be from something that we would call negative, and that's happened in my life many times, something that was hard.
Right.
But when I look back, I always see it as a gift, too.
Right. Well, diamonds are created that
they
way.
They are created that way. Or it can come with something that looks more like a gift, but it can be just as scary sometimes to say yes.
Sure.
So with that pressure comes growth and change. Mm-hmm. And if we allow ourselves to experience that.
I don't think there is a single person listening that would not say that when faced with, you know, some sort of an obstacle, there's going to be fear.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't listen with our intuitive heart,
right.
You know, heart and third eye, if we don't use our intuition, don't check with our heart, we typically make the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go with what maybe somebody else told us to do or maybe it was, you know, a parent or a professor or a coworker or a boss. But if we don't check in with us, you know, I always feel like my guides kind of step back and they'll go, okay, you have all the tools you need. You'll make the right decision. But if I waver at all, I think they chuckle. I think they really do. I think they just kind of go, oh, Lord, is she ever going to figure this out? So that's kind of where we're at. And some children have the gift immediately.
I think so. And I've gotten a chance to meet a lot of those kids. And often I find their parents just don't understand them. And that that's how they've ended up with me sometimes, which is neat.
Right.
To bridge that,
right,
you know, for the parents and them, which I think is a neat role.
Yeah, they're not as easily trained by the parents,
right.
You know, because they are marching to the beat of their own drummer, and they
Absolutely.
Know the right way to go. And usually it's the parents that need the child as a gift to teach them.
And I've learned a lot of that even from my younger son, where he taught me a lot of taking your time. He's one of the fastest runners I've seen, but if he's doing anything but running,
he's slow
even now as he's older.
So what do you do with your Earth Warrior book?
Earth Warriors, I brought this, which is a it's something anyone could find. I didn't create it. It's by Alana Fairchild. It's what's called an oracle deck, a guidance deck is the way I look at it. It's one that really spoke to me. It's a newer version this year. This is another thing that I use to check in and get validation.
So I'm curious. I'm going to have you check in with your cards and see which one you're going to pull.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
So. Let's do this. This was my one yesterday, White Buffalo Woman, which I've had lots of visits from her over the last few years. But let's see what we have today. And usually when I pull them, I just kind of toss them around a little and I do three knocks. It's just a clearing technique that a lot of people use. Some people sage them and all of that too, which you can. But I'm pretty much the only one that uses these, so it's just my energy. I just knock for myself.
Okay.
Ooh. So, well, this is a fun number. Our mutual friend Tess loves this one. 12.
Okay.
And it says Amuada is how I'm going to say it. It's actually got an owl on here, which is very interesting. It has the heart chakra highlighted.
Okay, and you've been talking about hearts.
Yes,
hearts are
and
your
we've also talked about the mind's eye, and it is highlighted as well. And it's the sage of higher knowledge.
Okay.
So we're just going to real quickly see what the very beginning of that says, because while these are amazing cards, they're quite long. But I'm just going to read the first sentence. Look how great this is for what we're talking about. Seek what feels true, even beyond the logical. If something doesn't feel right, challenge it and look deeper.
That is so true. So very true. And it's everything we've been talking about.
It's everything we've been talking about.
Right. So that people out there that are listening to this show, you know, check in with your heart.
Yeah.
Check in with your intuition. Because I think we all have our own answers, and we have to trust those.
We do. And I think that some of the tools just remind us of that. You know, so we pull a card and it tells us exactly what we've been talking about for the whole show.
For the whole show.
Because I believe that when we open ourselves up to hear from, you know, spirit, universe, it's there. It's already there. And we've just said, hey, we're ready to listen.
Well, the rabbit-proof fence that I was telling you about.
Yes.
One of the things that the Aboriginals knew, and I was watching this movie with another individual, and I was explaining, you know, this concept, is they knew that she was on her way back to them, and they knew that she was going to follow the fence.
Wow.
And so the females of the tribe put their hands on the fence and sent the energy to bring her home.
Wow.
And, you know, Native Americans have known how to send energy.
Yes.
You know, Aboriginals have known. I think, you know, the Celtics knew.
Absolutely.
We've always known that that's all we are, is we are an energy field and a human body. And when we can realize that, you know, by connecting with tree energy, with flower energy, with bird energy, with deer energy, whatever energies are out there, it will be guided.
We are.
And a bird guided her. You know, when she was lost a couple of times, her grandmother had told her, always watch the bird because the bird will guide you home. And so there were moments in the movie where she wasn't sure, and she looked up and the bird was there.
Yes. Oh, so. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, I want you to, again, maybe share, this hour always goes so fast.
Always.
But I want you to share a little bit about how they can find you in Tarpon Springs.
Sure.
And maybe phone numbers or websites that they can go to. Because I think there's so many people that would benefit getting back into their bodies and learning yoga and learning maybe belly dancing. And so you tell them how to find you.
Sure. So I'm now at Hypnique Studio, which is H-I-P-N-I-Q-U-E Studio in Tarpon Springs, Florida. And our website is the same, hypniquestudio.com. You'll see that there's a variety of classes and workshops available, and you can see those on the website and also the phone number there as well, or even an email through hypniquestudio@gmail.com. And going forward, I'll even have some of my online courses that I've created. Probably about March, I'll have a mentorship program where I'll be working with people virtually. And in person if they're local, but if they're not, that they would have access to those sessions with me in group as well as individual.
Do you use Zoom at all?
Yes, I'll be using Zoom for those, for like a video conference call type of a deal.
Sure, and that's easy to use.
Exactly. So some of the online courses that you all have heard about, those are still available through Transformations, TransformationAcademy.com, and I'll have a new one of those coming out this year too. And then the mentorship course is just going to expand on the things that we've been talking about, how to use this in your life.
Okay, so maybe go into that just a little bit.
Sure.
As far as, you know, if somebody is listening to this and saying mentorship, will they be able to begin to do some of the things you know how to do and then take it into their own personal life?
Correct.
Okay.
So the goal with that is you may decide that you just want to use it for yourself personally, but I've also found that the people that tend to be drawn to some of the courses that I've already created are either already counselors, therapists, life coaches, or that's the direction that they're wanting to go. Or maybe you already are something like a yoga instructor where you're already in that field facilitating people, or thinking of that. So in the mentorship, you would be learning some of the things that I've been using for years in the categories of the yoga, the art, and the shamanism, how to use that for yourself and how to use that with others.
With others. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So it's your ripple.
Yeah.
You've thrown the stone in and now you've got ripples that are coming out and people that are going, I want to be in that part of the ripple.
Yes. And that's what we see. It just spreads. It's so exciting to watch.
It is. Yeah. That definitely is the case. Wow. I don't know what we're going to talk about the next time, but I know there will be a next time.
I know. So. I know. We always find multiple routes to take this.
Right. That's very, very true. All right, everybody. It's been a fabulous hour with Victoria. Again, if you've listened to today's show and you believe that, boy, you know, I have a dear friend that really needs to hear this show and they missed the 11 o'clock Saturday show, not to fear. You can go to SynergyConnectionRadio.com. And when you get on that website, at the very top, you'll see where it says show notes. And Victoria's show will be the top one after it's posted. And so it's really easy to find. You don't have to scroll through the seven pages that are there now. You'll be able to read a little bit about maybe the synopsis of the show if you're referring someone there. And then the actual show is right there. So you just click the arrow and it'll start to play for you. And I know that, you know, all of this information will be extremely beneficial to those that are maybe facing some life challenges or trying to make some decisions and learning just to go within. And again, listen to your heart, listen to your intuition. Other people may love you to death, but They may not have the right advice for you, right. And you have to make that decision for yourself. Anything else you want to add in the last couple of seconds?
I just want to encourage people to keep doing that, checking inside. The answers are there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe some of the things we talked about today, if you're not sure that you're listening to the correct voice for you, mm-hmm. maybe it is just sitting down in nature and tuning in.
And tuning in.
And feeling that peace. I think that's what I feel. I feel like a little clunk lock mm-hmm. in. Mm-hmm. And it may not be like frou-frou peace. It might just be like a solidness that mm-hmm. this is the correct move for me.
Right, mm-hmm. right. I think that's very true. Don't forget, 2020 is the year of getting healthy in terms of our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. So again, check out synergyconnectionradio.com and go into that Boomer website and see how you want to get healthy in 2020. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for joining Victoria. And we'll see you next week. Have a great one out there.